All right. Hello, this is Scott Price, and you are tuned into Warning Shots here on CKUW 95.9 FM. Warning Shots is CKUW's independent international news show. Right now, I am joined with Tim McSorley, an editor of The Dominion, which is I guess that would be the newspaper of the Media Co-op, which runs all across Canada. Tim, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
Now, you were recently in New York, just over a weekend to kind of see what was going on with the Occupy Wall Street movement. So the first thing I guess we should get at is, in the media, it's kind of interesting, the media coverage, at first they sort of didn't even acknowledge it was going on. Then it kind of went to sort of this antagonism of, well, it's just a bunch of left-wing hippie hipsters kind of thing. So what I want to know from you, the first question, what kind of people were there at New York when you went there?
Sure, yeah. It was to me, a really wide range of people. I'd say, for the most part, it was still a lot of people who are, you know, for the most part, people who are engaged, people who, I think a lot who would at some point have described themselves as activists or involved, but also a lot of people who I think were joining into this kind of movement for the first time. I was able to kind of walk around and interview people over the few days I was there. I went down over the long weekend in October. And there were a lot of people from New York, a lot of people from out of town, people from Nebraska and Washington, D.C., spoke with somebody from Wisconsin. So there were definitely people coming in from out of town to join in Occupy Wall Street, much like us coming down from Montreal, and we bumped into some other folks from Montreal. We were there. But people from a lot of different walks of life, people who were unemployed, have been working with class folks who have been working in manufacturing, who have been laid off. A lot of people who maybe haven't been laid off themselves but had a lot of family who have been going through the same kind of issues. A lot of young people, I'd say it was still, I'm not sure if it's changed in the last few weeks, but still primarily people in their 20s, maybe early 30s. And I think it was growing in the diversity of some of the racial or community backgrounds, but it was still, I'd say, primarily white. But I spoke to a few people, and there was a lot of good signs that was spreading beyond just kind of what I think was originally a decent critique of the movement, that it was very white and not necessarily inclusive of a lot of other kind of communities and struggles that had been fighting around similar issues. But it definitely seemed that it was growing and that the energy was really high. So, and people who are also very well informed. You know, I think the most drastic difference that I saw between what I had been reading in a lot of the mainstream media, and even in some of the more alternative media that was a little bit dismissive at first, was the fact that people were being dismissive, not knowing why they were there. And definitely people knew why they were there. They were there because, and they still are there, because they've just been living in a country and in a society where for years they've been told that they had a say through voting and through being politically involved. And finally, when they saw the system around them collapsing that they had been told to have faith in, and they were told that the government was going to help, that they weren't. That really, at the end of the day, that they didn't have an actual say in the political system and in the powers that be around them. And that's really why people were there, and they understood that and could articulate it very well. But I think it's a message that a lot of the mainstream media don't want to hear and don't want to push, and so or just from their position of privilege don't really understand. And so it came over as being explained as people who don't know why they're there or there for vague reasons. But I think that definitely it was people who have done their research and know why they're there, either on a personal level or on a very policy and historical level too.
I wonder, though, do you think, though, I mean, and you touched upon it, there's also that line and that criticism of this Occupy Wall Street, that the occupiers are coming from a position of privilege, you know? And also, too, that certainly, as you talked about, the aspect of there's not, it's mainly, in a lot of cases, it is a lot of white people. Mm-hmm. What do you say to that? What do you think about that?
I think it's definitely a concern and something that we need to be constantly discussing and aware of. But I think it's also something that, from talking with people while I was in New York, I had a chance to speak with folks who had helped start up the People of Color Working Group, and from Occupy the Hood, which are two groups that explicitly are involved in order to try to combat that and try to make sure that it's an inclusive movement and that it doesn't just become a movement that claims to speak for the 99%, but doesn't actually include a lot of communities that have been struggling for a really long time. Hmm. And it's difficult. I don't think it's there yet. I think in Montreal it's not there. I think in Occupy Wall Street I haven't been back down, so I don't know how far it's come. But it definitely, the people I spoke to were very hopeful and optimistic that it was changing and that they felt a lot of energy and a lot of openness, so that it doesn't remain a movement that focuses more on a white middle class has become disillusioned, because I think that's maybe where it started from, whereas a lot of other communities have been struggling for a long time with the same issues that a lot of people are just starting to face through the economic crisis. But I think that what a lot of people were saying to me, both folks of color and who have been involved in organizing, and you know, what white folks who are new or have just started to think about these issues, is that there's a lot of hope that there can be an understanding that, instead of dismissing the fact that maybe a lot of white middle class folks are only kind of facing these issues now or only kind of awakening to them, that instead of saying, well, dismissing it as only being a white movement, but realizing that this is an opportunity where there is a much broader base of people who are starting to realize the problems in the system, starting to face similar struggles, and that's an opportunity to work together and to fight to change, rather than walking away and being like, it can't be changed. I think people are still skeptical, right? So if there's overtures and there's attempts to broaden the movement and really kind of expand it beyond that kind of white or middle class kind of ground, and that's rejected, then I think, I think it's perfectly valid for people to kind of step away and look for something else. But I think at the moment, at least the impression that I got while I was there, is that there's still a feeling that there were obviously, a lot of speed bumps and problems at first, but that it's been gradually shifting. And I haven't heard anything otherwise that it's gotten any worse. So hopefully it's actually getting better.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also, again, in what you were just saying, kind of touched upon it, and you're talking about, these different working groups within the Occupy movement, and that's one thing that I kind of want you to talk about, is the element of participatory democracy in the Occupy movement and how that's really driving it, and what that means, really. So if you could talk about that.
Well, I think definitely, as I was kind of mentioned earlier, I think one of the big reasons people are there and are finding it so inspiring is that, in the U.S. and in Canada and a lot of countries, if not the majority of places in the world, people, through representative kind of liberal democracy that we have now, don't necessarily have, a participatory or direct say in how our democracy works, in how our government works. And that the recent economic crisis and even more so the supposed solutions and actions that our governments have taken have kind of shown people just to what degree we don't live in a society with a real participatory democracy, or even, a truly representative democracy that actually kind of reacts when people reacts when people are in crisis, and also reacts in a way that actually responds to the majority of people. So so the fact that there's this participatory consensus-based movement developing, and that is being used as the basis for the Occupy movement, at least in Wall Street and in most places, I can't speak to how that process is going in all the hundreds of cities that have adopted the Occupy movement, but in New York at least, part of the energy and part of why people are there is because of this idea of participatory democracy. So having general assemblies every day, and at those general assemblies, working to develop a system of consensus decision-making, based obviously on like a long history of consensus decision-making in a lot of different social movements, in order to make sure that people who are there have a say and are able to be involved and be able to bring their bring their grievances and their ideas and information and be able to participate fully. So Everybody has a right to speak. It's not based on a majority vote. It's based on a 90% consensus. So they basically judge the feeling in the crowd through the, I don't know if your listeners know, but the finger twinkles, so people putting their fingers up, flat or down to signal approval, kind of uncertainty and disapproval. And generally using that as a way to kind of communicate how people feel about the different issues being brought up. And the way people can bring issues, there's always debate about how, with so many people in a constantly changing population, how to keep it logistically flowing. So there's a facilitation committee that people bring their proposals to, and then they're brought to the General Assembly each night. General Assemblies don't always get to every proposal, but people have a lot of patience, it seems, and people are willing to understand that and willing to agree that if everybody's going to have a say and be able to participate, that these things may take longer and demand more involvement, but that at the end of the day, it isn't somebody else making a decision for you and possibly making a decision for you that doesn't actually benefit you, but rather there's a direct say in where this movement is going and what it wants to achieve.
Now, in your description of the participatory democracy, we talked about media coverage. Interestingly enough, the only one that I have come across as far as mainstream news that has actually kind of looked into this with any degree of actually looking into participatory democracy and kind of the philosophy of it was actually, of all places, The Economist. Actually ran a great article, and the thing there that they kind of pointed out, and I kind of wouldn't mind you talking about this aspect a little more, that it's not so much about, in a lot of other movements, it's the ends justify the means, whereas this is a little bit different, whereas it's actually the actual action that is really the message, not so much just objectives or a set of policy, right?
For sure, and I think that's what a lot of the mainstream media misses. Like, a lot of them I've read have mentioned that there's general assemblies and people can bring their motions, but it's often in, like, either a mention on the side or even in a dismissive way that it's a messy, kind of long process and stuff like that. But I think that's bang on. It's definitely that people are looking for a way to be empowered over the decisions that affect their lives, and by having this process and being involved in this process. And often for many people, I think I'm fairly lucky that working at the Dominion, we basically work on a consensus. As a small collective, we work on a consensus basis. So I have an idea, and I have that in my life. But I think for most people, and until I was able to join the Dominion Collective for myself too, it's very rare for us to experience a consensus decision-making process for real participatory democracy. And we're constantly told that it's, if it does come up that it's too messy or too long and that the system we have is the only one that works. And so I think that just the process of being able to organize and hold down an occupation in the heart of Wall Street, and at the same time that it isn't some kind of autocratic, vanguard committee that dictates what's happening there, but that people are able to be involved and make the decisions and get involved in the different aspects of how it works, and that every committee is open to anyone who wants to join, whether it's the facilitation committee or the finances committee or cooking and sanitation. I think it's just something that so many people never have the experience to participate in, and also is so drastically different than what we're told is how how we can run our society, that I think just that process itself, people want to find a different way, because they're so disillusioned with the political system we currently have, that it's definitely, I think, a big part of it are the means. And while I was there, there were a couple activists from Athens who came and spoke and had been involved in the People's Assemblies movement throughout Athens and Greece over the summer. Hmm. And one of the questions that was posed at the end was, okay, well, once these assemblies end, as they probably will, like, what beyond the concise and very clear concessions that they were able to gain from the government, what happens when people go back home? What do we take from that? And his answer was that what people took was a form of organizing, the idea of consensus decision-making and participatory democracy, and brought it to their workplace brought it to their homes, brought it to the movements they were involved in, and because a lot of social movements, I think people would agree, too, don't necessarily work on a consensus basis, but can be very hierarchical as well.
Hmm.
And bring that form of organizing and that understanding and belief that it's possible to organize that way and live our lives that way and implement it. And that in itself, you know, changing how we view society, how it can work at its base and in a much broader way, even outside the occupations, can have a really strong impact on just how decisions are made and how power is controlled. And so I think, I definitely think that obviously there's very immediate concerns and changes that people would like to see. You know, it's difficult to say which ones and to make, you know, clear concrete demands, but I think the process itself is definitely a huge reason of why people are there and why people are staying and why more and more people continue to join the movement, because they hear about it and they want to have that kind of empowerment and experience and see that's a real community that's forming.
Great. Well, thank you very much for giving your time, Tim, to talk about this. And just for the listeners, just kind of maybe, I guess I'll let you give a little pitch to for the Dominion and the Media Co-op. Just maybe if people want to find out about that, where can they find that out?
Great. Yeah. So people can find out about the Media Co-op and the Dominion online at mediacoop.ca. The Dominion site itself for the magazine itself is dominionpaper.ca, all one word. And the Media Co-op is essentially it's a network of local news cooperatives that are open publishing, so anyone can join the Media Co-op site for free and create an account and can upload their own videos and photos and text and audio pieces. But we are a cooperative, and so we work off of a membership model where people become members either by contributing, but also by becoming sustainers, and so becoming reader members. And so we try to make sure it's as financed as possible by our readership base so that we're responsive to them rather than to advertisement or anyone else. So people can find out more at mediacoop.ca. And there's a banner on the site too, but if you go to mediacoop.ca/occupy, we've created kind of a central hub that aggregates all our news coverage, news from other sites as well, and from Twitter feeds about the Occupy movement across Canada. And I didn't really get into it, but also the idea of how we work to decolonize and Indigenous issues into the Occupy movement, so people can find a lot more content there.